Right? Let's praise his name. Think of something to praise his name for today and say it. Salvation, huh? His Holy Spirit.
Grace.
Yeah, grace. I need that. I don't do anything wrong, but I need grace. But praise his name today. Amen? As I was looking around, how many of you here know somebody that is under the weather and just needs a touch of God on their life? Raise your hand up. See, I thought we had a lot of spouses out today is what I've been noticing. And how many of you know somebody that needs a touch on their life spiritually? See, we got a lot of people. Praise God that he went to the cross and not only went to the cross to save us from our sins, but also to heal us. And so, Father, we do come to you in Jesus' name, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, we praise your name.
Yes.
Father, we praise your name for your salvation. Father, we can call upon your name and confess you and believe in you, and we are saved. We thank you for that today. Father, we raise up those in our lives that haven't made that decision yet. And Father, we ask that you move mightily by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we ask you move mightily upon these souls and these people that were represented today by the raising of hands. And Father, we also raise to you, Lord, those that aren't feeling well today, Lord, and as the word says, by your stripes we are healed. And Father, we thank you for the healing that's taking place in this house today. Father, we thank you for the healing that's taking place through those watching online today. And Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, I thank you for our praise team, Lord, that takes us to the throne at every Sunday, Lord, and gets us in that attitude of worship and just thinking of you. Father, we thank you for the teams, the teachers, all involved with making this day happen. We praise you for them. But Father, we give you glory, 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 glory for who you are. For our awesome wives and husbands that put up with us. And for our awesome children that we love so much and we put upon you and cast our cares for them on you, Lord. We just praise your name, Lord, that you are God and that you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I praise God. You may be seated today. I praise God. Lauren, you brought Royce into the house. You know how I found out it was you today? I heard somebody crying over there, and I thought it was Landon. But Royce sounds just like Landon when he cries. And so anyhow, welcome. That's the first time he's been in church today. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. It's so awesome to have him in the house of God. Well, I praise God for everybody that's in the house today. And we've kind of been coming in slowly, but we've been coming in. Got a lot going on this week. The time changed last night. Amen. One person praised God for the time changing. Does anybody else praise God for the time change? Not right now, maybe later. Oh, I praise God that Teresa walked up to me this morning. She said, "Pastor, it's hot in here." Man, I praise God that he did a work in her life. Some that know what I'm talking about will get that. Amen. Yeah, yeah. But you know, I was thinking today, when these Sundays would roll around every year, my mom would walk into our room. Hi, Mom. I'm not going to run you down. I'm going to brag you up. And the way it went in my house was, she would walk in, turn the light on, and say, "Arise, shine, for the light has come." And sometimes she'd come over and kiss us on the face and stuff until we'd like, ah, you know. But if we didn't get up, "Arise, shine" came with a glass of water on us. That's the truth. And it would soak the bed so bad that you had to get up. And then you're embarrassed because, no, anyway. But arise, shine today. And I want to help out today. I learned from my mother. I know some of you is going to have a hard time staying awake today. So streams of living water are going to flow from the pulpit today. Okay? And this is loaded. So just so you know, okay? Just so you know that springs of living water are already flowing from the... Have you felt it, brother? You felt it today, didn't you? Streams of living water. So we better stay awake today. But really, this sermon is kind of maybe tough for some, because we hear it taught in so many different ways today, but we're going to be reading from Matthew 25 today. And this is talking of a judgment that's coming after the tribulation and Christ returns to the earth. And before his earthly reign is established, the disciples are going to be judged upon the outward works of love and kindness to those that belong to Christ. And not only those that belong to Christ, but with that, he said, suffering for Christ. And one thing I want to get going here today, and I don't think we realize a lot today, or I did this Wednesday nights, but who are disciples? And disciples are those that confess Jesus is Lord. Okay? Matthew 28, 19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So disciples are those that have been saved, water baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's disciples. And then Jesus goes on to say in John 15, 8, that you will know disciples by their fruit. And so what I believe Jesus is saying in Scripture, we'll get into it later in Matthew 25, but disciples will be judged for how we treat other disciples. People will be judged by how we treat each other. So today, I want to be clear, and all of you are awake, that if you are saved and been water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to stand to your feet. Be bold in that. And if I know there's a believer in here that's not standing to their feet, this gun will reach the back doors. I already tried it. So springs of living water will come, okay? So the reason I do that is we need to recognize that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we will be held accountable for the way that we treat each other and the way that we treat people. And that's what I want to speak towards today, that we will be judged by our fruit on how we do that. So the scripture is going to say today, some are going to be based on they treated people good, Matthew 25, 31 through 40, and they're going to go to eternal glory. This is how severe this is and how important to God it is that we treat each other well. But those on the left that don't treat each other well, they're going to look forward to eternal hell, Matthew 25, 41 through 46 says. So, wow, that's pretty heavy. But Jesus wants us to think about this. Go ahead and be seated. But there's two misconceptions about this passage. And there's nothing wrong about, you know, wanting to help the lost and the unbelievers. But I believe that this scripture today is for the church, for the disciples, on how we treat each other first. And then, yeah, it can rub off on how we treat the lost, but we're going to get into how we should be treating the lost later. But the other misconception is that we believe that by works that we're going to get into heaven. And that's not true. We get into heaven by salvation, and we're going to get into that later. But let's read Matthew 25, 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him he will be gathered, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on the right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in person and visit you? And this is a passage of scripture I want you to really get. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, remember, least of these, we talked about this last week, my brothers, remember that, you did to me. Okay? So, Father, we thank you for the word. Father, I ask that everything's erased from people's mind that comes from me and it is not right. And, Lord, I ask that everything is from you. We can't get off our mind, and we just evaporates us and saturates us and brings change to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can follow along online or by that church app. If you want to download the church app, these notes will be on there. But the first point I want to talk about, the least are the brothers suffering for Christ. The king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Many interpret verse 40 to mean that if we feed the hungry, help the poor, visit the imprisoned, etc., we are fulfilling Christ's commands, and that is what leads us to eternal life. If that is your understanding, you are not alone, but you're likely not right. We are not saved just because we feed the poor. Salvation is, one, Romans talks about, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. For with the heart one believes and is saved, or justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saved. So works doesn't get you into heaven. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing, it's a gift to God. No result of works, so that no one may boast, for by grace you are saved. Jennifer, thank God for grace today. When Jesus says, my brothers, in verse 40, he's referring to the disciples of Christ. You can read in Matthew 12:10, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. So when we see my brother in the word, a lot of times Jesus is referring to the disciples, the believers. Matthew 28:10, do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee and there they will see me. And we're talking there about when Christ was raised from the dead, he said, go and tell all the brothers, my brothers. And so again, verse 40, my brothers. How are we treating my brothers and sisters in Christ? If you look at little ones, last week we discussed who the least or the little ones were, the children of the faith. We talked about that in Matthew 18, But in verse 40, we see the little one. Some of your versions may say the least of these. Again, Jesus, I believe, is referring to the disciples of Christ. We also see this in Matthew 10, 42. And again, last week in Matthew 18, 4, 18, 6, 18, 10, and 18, 14. And to even go a little bit further, if you don't believe the word of God, let's what commentaries say. I read two. One says the needy are called Christ's brothers, thus the reference to the righteous helping fellow disciples. Jesus said that those who cared for such individuals were not merely serving other people, they were serving Christ himself. Another commentary said the disciples remaining on earth will be judged upon the outward works of love and kindness to those belonging to Christ and who are suffering. Now, don't say, go right out here and say, a pastor said, don't help those that are lost, don't help others. I'm just trying to get us focused in on who I believe Christ was talking about here. See, these brothers and sisters are suffering from hunger, and the brothers gave them something to eat. They were thirsty, and they gave them something to drink, those sisters. They were stranger, and you welcomed them in, brothers. They were naked, and you clothed them, sick, and you visited them in prison, and you came to me. And I was like, Lord, why are believers in prison? Why all this for believers? Because those that believe and really serve Jesus as the Son of God and love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and love their brothers as themselves, they're going to suffer for believing and standing for that. 2 Timothy says, or 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus knew a great persecution was coming against the church. He knew that they were going to take him to the cross, and he knew that Peter and the disciples were going to be persecuted. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Judas was going to deny him. He knew the disciples were going to flee because of persecution. He knew in Acts 7 that they would cast Stephen out and stone him for preaching the word of God, Acts 7:58. He knew a great persecution would raise against the church of Jerusalem. He knew Saul was going to wage war against the church, that he was going to enter houses and drag off men and women and commit them to prison. Paul himself said in Galatians 6:13, I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy them. Jesus knew that. He knew that believers from the time of the cross, and he rose from the dead in the end times, believers would be persecuted for their belief in Jesus. He knew that they were going to be suffering, they're going to be hungry, because of violent attacks that would be brought against them. And the great Spirit, the Holy Spirit, told me, man, Kent, the church better prepare, because this great persecution is here now. Those that stand for what you believe in now are persecuted. We keep our mouths shut because we don't want to offend somebody else. It's time to stop worrying about that and speak the truth with grace. The enemy is trying to destroy anything connected to God. And we're going to be judged on how we treat the brothers during that time. So as Philip was fleeing Jerusalem and he went into Samaria, how the people there treated him, the brothers were held accountable. How when Paul received Jesus in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, how Ananias received him. You guys get that? Ananias did not want to minister to Paul because he killed and persecuted the church. And God said by his Holy Spirit through Jesus, you go and you heal his eyes and you water baptize him and see that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. How we treat others, we're going to be judged. Do we get this, church? How important this is. And again, I'm not making light on helping others, the lost. I'm wanting us to get into this. That there's a call. There's a great call on our lives because we got to unite as a body. We got to unite as Oakton and stand for each other and fight for each other. Amen. Do I need to shoot some living water today? Come on, this is good preaching. The reason I can say that is because it's not me. It's God speaking through me. How we treat the least of these, my brothers, Jesus said, my sisters. That's me. And it determines your destiny. If Jennifer's getting persecuted at school for standing right, what is right, and we turn our backs on her as a church, we're wrong. Well, Jennifer, she should keep her mouth shut. She represents Oakton, and she shouldn't say those things. Come on, guys. It's very serious. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, everyone that's thinking about what I'm saying instead of maybe what we always thought that scripture meant. And again, I think it speaks to both, but I believe it's speaking directly to the believer, the disciples. But the early church was not focused on feeding the lost. They were focused on winning the lost. I want you to get that. The early church was not focused on feeding the lost. They were focused on winning the lost. We're doing a study, and it just happens to be just staying in Acts. And we're talking about knowing what God is speaking to us and hearing from God and understanding God. But what I've noticed in that every person, a disciple that goes out from Jerusalem, they're doing one thing, and it's preaching the gospel, and it's salvation, water baptism, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, Peter got up and he preached an awesome service filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he said, okay, here's some food, go home. No. When they cried out, what must we do to be saved? Peter says, what? Repent, get saved, be water baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say anything about feeding. He wanted to feed them spiritually. That's what the church needs to do for those that are lost. And when we do that, we're going to be persecuted, and that's why we need to stand behind each other. Immediately, Peter and John were persecuted for standing. They were brought before the government. They were brought before the community, the Jews, the religious people, because of the stand they were taking, and the church stood behind them. Acts chapter 4. And we'll get into it later but after people were saved, they brought them into the church and they cared for them. The church was a result of people getting saved, water baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they said, now come on in, I want to take care of you. How we treat the body of Christ after they're saved is important, that we care for them, that we're devoted to them. Acts 2:42. Devoted to teaching, devoted to breaking bread with them, devoted to taking the communion with them, meaning thinking we're not better than everybody else, and being of one accord. And we'll get into that someday. The early church wasn't focused on feeding the lost. They were focused on saving the lost. Bring him into the church after that for care. Joe challenged you guys. We showed a video. That's me. We sat there and we sweated out to invite somebody to church. I want to challenge you to bring somebody to Christ, then bring them to church. Because that's the biblical way. You're a disciple. You stood today. You got children. You got family. You got friends that you lead them to Christ. See that they're water baptized. See that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then bring them in the church and help the church raise them up and disciple them and care for them. I'll show you some other examples. You know, you go, and we're going to get in Acts 2:42 later, but we talk about the church was established in Acts 2:42 and all the wonderful things that were going on in the church as a result of salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we see Paul or Peter and John go to the temple to pray like it was custom. And they went by the beggar. We all know the story. And the beggar that had been laying there that Christ even walked by. You know the story. And he stands up, or he didn't stand up yet, but he says, hey, you got any money? You got any alms? You got any food? Can you care for me physically? And what's Peter and John say? I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. He received salvation. He received the fullness of Jesus Christ. You know, Peter talked about it in 1 Peter 2:24. Man, Christ was on the cross and he died for our sins. And oh, by the way, by his stripes you are healed. We saw that living testimony right there. But you know what caught my eye and when I was praying and thinking about this scripture? Acts 2:25, before this happened, says, and they were selling their possession, the church, and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as they had needs. Peter did have the proceeds. Peter did have the money, the food, all those things, because it says that in Acts 2:45. In Acts 3:6, he said, no. But what I do have is salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys ever catch that before? And the reason I believe this is so accurate is Acts 3:16. And I don't think this is on the board. And Peter was talking about, as he was explaining what had happened to this man that was healed and saved. And he said his name, by faith in his name, salvation, has made this man strong whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man the perfect health in the presence of you all. A transformation. The physical or the spiritual need and that physical need was met. We must first deal with the spiritual need, salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. To even push this a little further, Philip the evangelist led many to Christ, talked about it earlier. Peter made sure that they were water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were in, I think, Samaria. And where Peter was at was a 4 days, 5 day walk. So they were saved in 10 days, 20 days later. Peter comes in and makes sure that they're saved and found out they were. And then what? He baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Those three things. Salvation, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's all that mattered. Through that event, there's nothing said about meeting the food and all the things that we talked about in 25. Not to say it didn't happen, but we don't speak of it. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, saved, water baptized. That was the whole purpose. Acts 10:47. Gentiles had received Christ. They come to Peter and say, hey, we want to be part of what you're talking about here. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, I can't argue with that. Saved, water baptized, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:14. In Caesarea, move of God going on. The church went down there to see that they were saved, filled, or baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. But you do recognize in Acts 7 and in Acts 8, the church established and they were taking care of the people that were saved, that were brought in. So once people are saved, they're brought into the church to care for them. Doesn't Christ say it himself? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else will be added. So once they were focused, on salvation, they focused on caring for them. How can we be prepared to care? To care for those that are brought into the church. Giselle was talking about in her leadership class today, there's many ways we care for each other. Inviting someone to church. Leading somebody to Christ. Making sure they're water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then as a church, there's many ways we can care. Many ways. We need to take this so serious, people. So serious when we're saying invite people to church. We're not doing it so we can get a head count and say we had a big Easter Sunday. As Joe said, man, we'd be doing this every Sunday. But as your pastor, I say, man, let's get them saved and bring them to church and care for them. Disciple them. Going to change gears a little bit now. So we got people saved, we got them baptized, we got them filled with the Holy Spirit. So how do we care for each other, disciples of Christ? How do I care for you? And the Holy Spirit kept telling me, slide 14.3, the church must be strong inside before we can be strong outside. Caring for each other is so important. When I shared this with Joe, he said, kind of like President Trump, make America great again. And I said, well, that's half right. But the second part, after God does the work in us about caring and teaching us how to care for each other, then we'll be more efficient as we go out and minister into the world. That's why you see me slide 15 so many times that Kent, here, Kent. That's, go back one, I think. But Kent, there we go. Jesus has got to be number one in my life. Number one. And then my family's life. And then I have the church right in there behind that. But we got to care for these things before we care about everything else outwards. We got to have that focus. That's why I love the GMC so much. The GMC has learned that the local church must be strong inside before we can make an impact outside. They've turned things around on the way things are done. The UMC would ask us to pay 13% to be part of them. In other words, they were the sinner. And then the Missouri Conference was after that, and then the local church. The GMC sees the importance, the care that the local church needs to be doing so much that that's the center of affiliation is Oakton. And then it's the Heartland Conference. And then it's the General Conference. And you see the proof in the pudding, 96% is here. But the spiritual side is what blesses me the most, and I am learning from them, and we already knew these things. But you remember when we had the Southwest Missouri District here, we spent all of our time, or half the time, Kent preached on what? Being missional, going outside and bringing people to Christ. But Jordan came back in and talked about how we need to be strong inside as a church. Both of those things are important. I've been invited to preach up in Fairfax, Missouri, and Jordan's going to do the same thing. I'm starting off with how to be effective outside the church to save, to water bath, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Jordan's going to spend the other part of the time centering on what the church can do to care for each other. Thursday night at a presiding elder meeting, they asked me if Oakton would host an Alpha Course conference. So again, that we could learn how to be a part and to minister into the world, but also how to be a church that can care for those that are brought in. The reason I share this today is that I think Oakton does a great job of going and saving. But we need to work on the discipling, the caring for the brothers and sisters. And that's on me because I push hard to go and to save. But we need to focus on the caring for the disciples, for each other. Something that blessed me so much that through the position I'm in, presiding elder, the biggest church in our conference has 1,549 members, 715 attend worship on the weekends. They had 34 professions of faith, 23 baptisms. Oakton had 49 professions of faith and 24 baptisms, and we're half their size. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. We are effective about winning people to Christ, but we need to work on caring for those when they're inside. Do I get an amen? Because I know my dad agrees with that. For caring for the disciple, for those that are persecuted, to stand behind them, to stand together in the things of God. And I'm not even halfway through the sermon, so what I'm going to do is, this is expanded more than my notes talking to you this morning. I want you to think on these things today. I want you to pray about what I've said to you this week. And then next week, we're going to come back and do slide 17. We're going to prepare to care. And some goals that the Lord, I believe, has showed me as a pastor. Care for disciples, you in the body. Love the church, number one. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, we'll read that. Care for the church, Matthew 10, 40 and 42. And I really want to get into that one right now. It's burning. But you go study that because it talks about prophets and the righteous. And Jesus is telling you how to treat them. Well, guys, the prophets are the preachers and the leaders, and the righteous are the disciples that are in the body. And it's pretty serious stuff if you go read that on how we treat each other. Then we're going to talk about being devoted to the church, Acts 2, 42 through 47. We're going to talk about giving to the church, Acts 4, 32 through 37. And guys, we need to be devoted to giving. What bothers me as a pastor is a lot of times people will come to me and say, "Pastor, where do you want me to put some money? I got some money." And I say, "Put it in the general fund." And people don't want to do that because it's not exciting. But the reason that bothers me when it's not exciting is because the general fund goes to the pastor's salaries. It goes to caring for you. It goes for getting the praise equipment. It goes for the necessity of the cares of the body. But we just want to spend our money on missions to Liberia or to Albania, and there's nothing wrong with them. But we need to be devoted to giving in the house, to care for the people. And then last but not least, helping other believers overcome sin and transgressions. Man, if you don't know the truth, guys, it's almost a revolving door. And I think a lot of it is because we get them saved and baptized and filled with the Spirit, but we don't help them overcome. When somebody fails, we like to, "Man, that Joe, he knew better than that." Or they don't change quick enough. Or they don't do things the way we want them to do it, so we just cast them to the side. But we need to help believers. And that's what Jesus was saying today. We need to care for each other. There's a persecution coming, and we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And our job is to go save the lost, lead them to Christ, see that they're water baptized, baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and then we bring them in to disciple them, care for them, help them grow in Christ so that they can go save disciples, sin. So I don't know how the Lord's dealt with you today. I do know that if you are here today and you didn't stand up because you're not saved, I understand some couldn't stand because of different reasons. But if you're not saved today, man, there's nothing better. That's why we put up with the persecution. Do you think that I'd be a preacher if I didn't believe in who Jesus was? Uh-uh. I wouldn't waste my time on being a preacher if I didn't believe in what it is about. But I believe in so much who Jesus is, and he changed my life, and I've seen him change hundreds of more, and that's the purpose of my life. So if you're not saved today, man, get saved. But guys, we need to focus on, I want you to be really thinking about this, is how do we care for each other? How do you care for your pastors? How does the pastors care for you? Do we stand for each other? Do we have each other's backs? Because there's a great persecution that, to be honest with you guys, it's already here. It's already here. But I think it's going to get so bad you're going to have to make a decision whether to live or die by what you confess. So let's stand to your feet today. Father, you've presented the word today, and Father, into your hands, Father, I just release this service, release these people, and Father, I pray that streams of living water flow through them today, tomorrow. Father, get this in our hearts, get this in our minds, Lord, what you're talking about today, and Father, I would challenge you to this body, that you would come out Wednesdays, because we're talking about how the Lord speaks to us and ministers into us and how He desires us and He wants to know us and how we want to know Him. That's what we're doing on Wednesday nights, is trying to get to know Him better so that we can care for each other and care for Him. And guys, all God requires of us is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Love each other as ourself. Amen? These altars are open, and however the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, come to these altars and pray today.